Thank you. Good day, friends. We again come to you with studies in the book of Genesis. I sincerely hope that you are enjoying these simple studies of Genesis. I rejoice and thank the Lord for the communications that I receive from you of the blessing you have received in other portions of the Word of God and now are also receiving in the book of Genesis. We're in chapter 31. We have where Jacob is leaving Haran. And you remember in chapter 31, the circumstances were such, it was time for Jacob to move. In the first verse, you have the jealousy and the envy, not only of Laban's sons, but also of Laban himself. For the second verse declares, when Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before, then the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. And you remember this: these two things we have in the first three verses. The conditions, the circumstances said, Jacob, you better get out. Then the word of God is very, very clear. Return to the land of your fathers and of your kindred. And then the promise, I will be with you. And then Jacob did a very wise thing. He came and talked with his wives. Do you remember? He called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, away from the camp, so he could just sit down and talk with them. And that's pretty good, pretty wise of Jacob to do that. To sit down and just talk to them about the whole situation. And in verse 5, he mentioned the fact of the circumstances. And you know how I've served your father these many years, and he has changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Now here you have Jacob, after 20 years, coming back into the fellowship of God. The Lord never left Jacob those whole 20 years while he's in Padan Aram. The trouble was that Jacob, his heart was not with God. If you love the Savior, the Lord never leaves you. This is one thing for sure, if you really love the Lord. Whatever your circumstances are, the Lord's with you. In Hebrews 13:5, as it is written, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And there are 5 negatives in that verse. I will never, 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 never leave you. What more assurance do you need? Whatever the circumstances may be, this is one thing for sure. The Lord will never leave the ones he has purchased for himself, whom he has redeemed with his precious blood. So then you have the advice, of his wives in verse 16. After relating the whole thing to them, of how God had come and spoken to him, you remember in verses 11 on through, the angel of the Lord said unto him in a dream, Jacob, and he said, here I am. He goes on, I have seen all that Laban doeth unto you. I am the God of Bethel. I am the one to whom you vowed a vow. Now arise, get thee from this land. Return to the land of your kindred. And his wives give him good advice. Whatever, verse 16, now then, whatsoever God has said unto you, you do it. By the way, that's always good advice, isn't it? Always good advice. You remember in John chapter 2, the story of our Lord being at the wedding feast. And the mother of our Savior said to him, they have no wine. And he said to her, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Then she turned to the servant and said, whatever he says, you do. My friend, that's still good advice for you and me today. Whatever God says to us in his word, to your heart, to your mind, that's the thing to do. You say, well, I'm not a Christian. Then God tells you how you can become a Christian, how you can receive forgiveness of sins, how you can receive eternal life. You do what he tells you, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Put your trust in him. This is a personal matter. And let me be very clear about this. A person can assent, mentally assent, to all the wonderful truth, the historic truth of the fact that Christ came, that he died for the sins of the world, that he was raised again from the dead and exalted to God's right hand to be Lord in Christ. You can claim all that, but unless you have personal relationship with the one of whom the facts speak, my friend, you don't have life. And what does he say? God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that whosoever, that's you, that's me, believe on him, put your trust in him, you'll receive everlasting life. Now repeat the word here of the wives of Jacob and also Mary, the mother of our Savior. Whatever he says, you do. That's what they said. They perfectly agreed. I say again, it was a good deal for Jacob to call his wives out into the field and tell them the whole story and put it up to them. I say it was a point of wisdom. It's good for a husband and a wife to sit down and discuss things openly and in love one for the other, especially if it's dealing with the things of God. Now, starting in at verse 17, I read that Jacob and his sons, they start off for Bethel. And he uses natural caution in this, 19 to 22. You remember that it must have been a large company of people. You remember the preceding chapter, the last verse. Jacob increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. How is he going to get away from there without Laban knowing about it? So I read here, Jacob rose up, set his sons and his wives upon camp, and he carried away all his cattle, all his goods, which he had gotten, the cattle he was getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Well, how can he get away with that? With such a crowd of people, quite a company, and think of the stock they were driving. Verse 19, and Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. In fact, in verse 22, it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was gone. In other words, Jacob used his head. How is he going to get this crowd, his wives, his children, all the stock, with all the maidservants and the men servants, how are they going to get out of Laban's camp without being seen? But Laban and his men were out shearing their sheep. They were away from the camp. And so Jacob used good sense. As I said a while ago, he's a man who's full of tricks, but nevertheless, he uses real caution. And so I find that he took the time. He timed it when Laban and his men were away shearing sheep. And it was not till 3 days afterwards that Laban heard about it. And when he heard about it, he took his men with him, and they pursued him for 7 days and caught up with him at Gilead. And then you remember God spoke to Laban in verse 24. And God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said, you take heed that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. You better keep your hands off that man. You see, I'm sure that Laban, his desire was to use force to bring back all the stock and his two daughters and all the people. I don't know what he would have done to Jacob, possibly killed him, I don't know. But the fact is that his heart was wrong, and God stopped him and said, be careful what you do. You be careful what you do. So starting in verse 25, And reading to the end of the chapter, you have Laban's complaint, 25 to 30. And you know that his complaint was such that there was not much behind it. You see, he confessed that God had stopped him from hurting Jacob. And Jacob, of course, he got mad too. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean? Running after me like this. And nobody has stolen your gods. Verse 30, somebody has stolen my gods. Well, he said in verse 32, with whomsoever you find your gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen him, that is, stolen the gods. In other words, Jacob is saying, why are you following me? I've got nothing that belongs to you. The blessings that God has showered upon me is from the hand of God. And any of your goods here, any of your stock here, before my brethren here, before all of us, you take them if you can find any. You find anybody who's got your gods, you can kill them. What had Rachel done? She had stolen her father's gods. And you remember in verse 34, she hid them in the camel's furniture. And then she sat upon them. I can't help but smile when I think of that. She sat upon the gods of her father. What kind of a god is that you can sit on? The emptiness and the folly of idolatry, of shrines. And then from verse 36 down through 42, you have Jacob's complaint. What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after us? And you follow all the way down through, and when you come down to verse 41, his complaint. Thus have I been 20 years in your house. I served 14 years for your two daughters. I served 6 years for your cattle, and you have changed my wages 10 times, and except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, had been with me, surely thou had sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and he rebuked you yesterday. See, God undertook for Jacob. I'm not holding any brief for Jacob. For 20 years I've had no record in the text of him building an altar to the Lord or sacrificing to the Lord. He's 20 years serving. 20 years serving Laban. And his wages changed 10 times. So the covenant is made. And again I say, Jacob now is back, I believe, in fellowship with God. God has spoken to him. And when God speaks, we should obey, which he did. God says, go home, go back to Bethel. And then you have the covenant between Laban and Jacob. In verse 48, and Laban said, this heap, that is this heap of stones, is a witness between me and you this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from the other. Oftentimes, you know, we hear this. It used to be said after nearly every young people's meeting many, many years ago. The Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. But I think that we have, when we use it today, it's used as a thought, well, the Lord will take care of you while we're not with each other. But that's not the thought here, I believe. Laban doesn't trust Jacob. Jacob doesn't trust Laban. And the Lord watch between me and you when we're absent one from the other. See, God is witness betwixt me and you. And then in verse 52, this heap be witness, and this pillar be a witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, and you will not pass over this heap to me, and thus do me harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us, say. And Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac. In other words, I say, the Lord watch between you and me. Take care of me in case you come over here, and the Lord take care of you if I come over there to do you harm. I say again, they didn't trust each other. Just one more thing in verse 54. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned to his place. You'll notice that Laban didn't offer sacrifice. It was Jacob. He's back in fellowship with God. And this, I believe, is an act of worship that God had protected him. God had cared for him. And by the way, God will always take care of his own, whatever the circumstance may be. Now, it might be well for me today to just pick up this whole thing and take up one aspect, and that is, how can we know the will of God and how can he guide us? I think it's possibly a problem that confronts every Christian who wants to go on with God. How can I know the will of God? How can he guide me? First of all, will you notice with Jacob, there was a great, for the first time in 20 years, there was a desire to go home and see his father. As I said in some previous class or broadcast, Jacob never again saw his mother. As far as we know, he never again saw Rebekah. She's never again mentioned. She had to choose between Jacob killed or Jacob being in exile. You remember this. And so her punishment is that she never again saw Jacob on earth. But there came a desire after 20 years of service, a definite conviction. You find this in chapter 30, verse 25, a great yearning to go home to his own people. That's the first thing. The second thing is in chapter 31, the first two verses, and that is, circumstances said, Jacob, you better get out. And the third thing was the word of God. And two or three times God says, you leave, you go back to Bethel, you go back to your own place. So you have circumstances, you have the word of God, and you have a definite inward conviction, this is what you should do. It's pretty good advice. You remember the Apostle Paul, and I quote from Acts 16, the Apostle Paul wanted to go east where the millions were, and the Spirit of God forbade him. And then he wanted to go up to Bithynia, and he was hindered again from going to Bithynia. And then that night, he had a vision, a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And straightway, he left Troas and made for Macedonia. And he came to Philippi, which was a colony. See, the main thing is do I really want the will of God? If I'm faced with a decision, especially a real decision to be made in my life, what do circumstances say? Now, circumstances might say, get out. And I read the Word of God, and I have no definite word that would tell me to get out. But there's no peace when I get down before God. Father, what is your will for me? Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to go? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? If there's no peace, I plead with your heart, if there's no real peace in your heart, I would give God the benefit of the doubt and wait. God's always on time. Maybe he just wants to test your patience. But the most important thing is, for those of us who are Christians, the most important thing is to be in the will of God. There is no life comparable to that life lived in the will of God. That means a life of fellowship with God. And a life of fellowship with God is manifested by obedience to his word. How can I obey his word if I don't read it? Now I want to say, this is the burden of my heart. The average professing Christian today doesn't spend time in the word of God. And the result is their lives are barren of spiritual power, barren of being in the will of God. So they live from day to day, week to week, month to month, and owe so little of a life lived in fellowship with God. I say again, my friend, the most important thing for you in your life is not getting money. It's not trying to please society or being looked up to by society, even a Christian society. The most important thing in your life, in my life, is to walk daily in fellowship with God in His will. This is a spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled life is not having certain experiences. Now, I'm not running down experiences. Thank God, I like all I can get of experiences. But the main thing is, am I walking in fellowship with Him? And I'll tell you one thing, if you walk in fellowship with Him, in accordance to His precious word, you'll have all the experiences you can take care of. But I do want you to know this, there is a life to be lived on earth, filled with the Spirit of God. And when you and I walk in fellowship with God in His will, then we're Spirit-filled. Now, it may not be manifested by great things. That isn't the question. That isn't the important thing. The important thing is to live a life pleasing to Him. He wants your fellowship and He wants my fellowship. And when I see Jacob here, I realize these three things: circumstances, the Word of God, and a great yearning in his heart. And you put the three together. Or as I said a while ago, if you take outward circumstances, take the Word of God, and if you have a real peace of heart, this is what God wants you to do. And if you mean business with God, my friend, you'll have real peace of heart when decisions have to be made. Now may the Lord make these lessons precious to your heart, and may you walk today pleasing to Him. That means walk in fellowship with Him, and please spend some time in the Word of God. And the Lord bless you today for His precious name's sake.